questions, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with host mother-daughter team Dr. Gloria Call Horsley, marriage and family therapist, and Dr. Heidi Horsley, both experts in the area of grief and loss. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi dedicate this show to their deceased son and sibling, Scott, and to all of the parents and other family members who have lost loved ones before their time. Each week, Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and their guests will share stories of loss, hope, and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley. Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffer the loss of a loved one. Well, we've been on the show, we've had the show on the air for almost a year now, and we have added a new and exciting dimension to the program. My daughter, Dr. Heidi Horsley, has graciously accepted co-hosting Healing the Grieving Heart. Heidi is a bereaved sibling and bereaved parent of two losses due to miscarriages. In addition to teaching intervention for grief and loss and bereavement at Columbia University, she has worked in a number of clinical settings. Heidi is an expert on sibling loss, and she is currently a co-investor for Columbia University, where she conducts evaluations and intervention to facilitate coping of spouses and children of firefighters killed in the World Trade Center disaster. Heidi, welcome to the show. It's very exciting to have you co-host the program with me.
Thanks, Mom. It's great to be here, and I'm looking forward to co-hosting.
Great. Well, Heidi, I thought today we'd start out with an email. I always get such wonderful emails from my listeners, and they're heart-rendering and just absolutely great. And I wanted to let you all know out there that if you'd like to email me or Heidi, you can do it through our website, healingthegrievingheart.org. And these shows, just to remind you, you can hear them 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They're archived on my website, our website, healingthegrievingheart.org, as well as compassionatefriends.org websites. Well, Hyde, I wanted to start out with this email I received. The email is from, let me see your name again, Denise. And Denise says, Dr. Horsley, I'm recently a bereaved parent, and I found that your internet program's helpful. I'm interested in hearing more about your story. My own son was 17 and died from injuries sustained in an automobile accident only 1 month ago. Wow, short time.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say, Heidi?
Absolutely.
Very short. We also have two daughters, and I am interested in how you handled losing your only son. Mm. How did your husband and daughters deal with losing the young man in their family? How did you help your daughters through this? She also said, and I won't read the whole rest, but she said she attended one Compassionate Friends meeting and that it was a difficult meeting for her, and she didn't know if she'd be going back. Well, Denise, I wanted to start out with the Compassionate Friends, and then I want Heidi to comment on your email. With the Compassionate Friends meeting, it's only been a month. You went once. You didn't have a great experience. One thing I would suggest, our guest Al Johnson that was on, if you go to the archives, he's a minister. He waited for 7 months. So give it a try again in a few months. The other thing is our national director, Patricia Loader, recommends that you go 3 times to try to give it a shot. But we're glad you're listening into the shows and helpful and that they're helpful, and keep emailing us. Heidi, do you have and also Heidi and I did a show together, and in a minute I'll look up the date and tell you, because we do talk a lot about sibling loss and families. But Heidi, what suggestion do you have, something for Denise on this?
Wow, I guess one of the things that struck me about the email was that you lost your only son and you have two surviving daughters, because our situation is similar, although I have two other sisters, so there's three girls in the family. I think one thing I would say was that when my brother died, I had a lot of survivor guilt because he was the only boy. And there were three girls left in the family. And that's fairly normal. From the siblings I've spoken to that are bereaved, survivor guilt is a normal emotion, and that's okay if that's what they're struggling with. We all dealt with it differently in our family. I mean, I was the oldest, so I kind of took over and became a little parentified and was worried about my parents and worried about my siblings. I grieved very much alone, and I wanted to take care of the family. Whereas my youngest sister had a headset on and kind of turned to herself and kind of listened to her headset and tuned out the family. Wouldn't you say, Mom?
I would say that. And, Denise, I worried endlessly about the girls, and they have done fabulously. They are so great, and our family is just very happy. We have grandkids, and the kids have done well. In fact, I really feel that you guys, Heidi, have some insight that other people don't have.
Right, and I guess one thing I would also say, which I say to parents a lot, and I said it on the show, I would listen to the show that I did on adolescence with Gloria, and one thing I would say was I would go to the girls and say, you know, I know what it's like to lose a child, but I don't know what it's like to lose a sibling. It must be really hard for you girls, and is there anything that me and your father can do to help? We're here for you. Is there anything that may be helpful?
Yep, great. Well, Denise, I'm just glancing through this, and I'm not seeing my show, so email me, and I'll tell you the date of it. I might have told you I sent you an email. So, Heidi, and thanks again for emailing. Keep in touch. Heidi, I wanted to start the show today by having Heidi read a quote from a guest November 10th, Ben Seif. You know, I'm getting great quotes out of the shows that we're doing, and we're putting them on our website, healingthegrievingheart.org, and hopefully eventually you'll actually be able to hear the guest say the quotes. So if you want to get caught up on our archive shows or listen to the quotes, tune in. Also, we're going to be soon, you'll be able to pick up our shows on iPod. So, Heidi, would you read Ben's comments for us? Because I think it's a great lead into our guest today.
Sure. Ben says, when I was 16 and my brother was killed, I felt completely isolated. I couldn't really talk to even my best friends. I would repeat things over and over again, and they would ask me to stop. It was uncomfortable for everybody, and I think that's the neat thing about support groups, is that you're around other people that at least have some kind of idea what you're going through. They, of course, don't know exactly what it is, but you don't feel like you're in this wasteland of no one's around there to be supportive.
Great. Thanks, Heidi, for reading that for us. I think it's a wonderful introduction to our guest today, Valerie Mulazon. Dr. Mulazon is one of those special people who has seen the need and been willing to specialize in this most difficult area, working with families who cope with loss. Dr. Mulazon is a clinical director of Supporting Kids, the Center for Grieving Children and Their Families, a nonprofit agency in Wilmington, Delaware that provides support, groups, and educational programs for bereaved families, as well as community education and consultation to professionals who work with bereaved children. Val, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on, and the support you're giving your community is amazing. Heidi and I were just absolutely blown away, weren't we, Heidi, with the materials you sent about your program.
I'm really happy to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. They are fabulous, and they are so comprehensive, but they are not too lengthy. It's almost like you could use your information as a quick reference guide.
Well, one thing you notice when you're working with bereaved families is they don't have a lot of ability to concentrate for long periods of time. There's so much going on emotionally and in terms of trying to adjust to day-to-day things that the way that people digest information when they're in this crisis state really is in smaller chunks and in ways that can be immediately of assistance. I do try to make the materials we provide, both in our support groups as well as in our written materials, very digestible.
It is. And one thing I wanted to say while we're still on the topic, two things I absolutely loved. I mean, in working with grieving children, I found that some teachers in some schools are fabulous, and they really understand what it's like to lose a family member, and other teachers really don't understand the toll it takes on concentration and behavior, et cetera. And two things you have in here, which I think every...
And, by the way, this is a booklet. Can our audience get your booklet?
Absolutely. People can email me or go online to our website.
Okay, can you give them your email?
Sure. Quickly? My email is Val Mulazon, Valmolaison, supportingkids.org, and kids has two Ds.
Right, and you can also email us, and we'll give that to you also. So, Heidi, could you talk about, get back to that, you were talking about the teachers.
The thing that I thought was fabulous was your school survival kit, especially the strategies to help integrate a child back into the classroom after a loss.
Absolutely.
And what newly bereaved children need from their teachers. Those are so fabulous. Those two pages are so important for teachers.
Do you want to talk a little bit about those pages, though?
Sure.
About what you suggest to people?
Well, what we find is that schools contact us a lot after there's been a loss whether it's in their school community or whether it's a parent or sibling of a child who's a student in the school, and they're concerned because the child's behaving strangely. And so I do a lot of education of school professionals to help them get a sense of what these children's lives are like. And one of the things that we find with bereavement with children is in some very, very dramatic ways, it's very different from the way adults grieve. And so it's confusing for grown-ups to get into the head of a child who's grieving.
Now, what would you suggest to our audience if their child's having trouble in school right now after the death of the sibling?
Well, what I would say is it's one of the most common complaints that we hear about. And it's just very difficult for the kids to concentrate and for them to...
Math is particularly hard, I think, don't you, Hyde?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, a psychologist would say that anyway.
I was thinking of my daughter, who was 14 at the time. Her math teacher was giving me a few phone calls.
Because that requires a lot of very focused concentration mm-hmm. and logical thinking, and that's not the part of the brain that's operating very well when you're dealing with the trauma of a premature, unexpected death. And, you know, kids are interesting because if you look at a bereaved child or adolescent, sometimes they don't look like they're bereaved. You can't look at them and go, oh, that person's brother died. Whereas a bereaved parent, it's unmistakable. You can see them in the grocery store and say there's something going on with that person.
Uh-huh.
And bereaved children and adolescents have the capacity to set that aside for brief periods and go on about their daily rounds. And so that is part of what's confusing for people who are not bereaved to understand, is that this on-off quality of the grief work that young people have is normal and natural and helps them be able to cope with their lives, mm-hmm. but it also makes people think that the child is really
doing great.
Bereavement as an excuse for mm-hmm. underachieving and those types of things, and that's certainly not the case. Matter of fact, there's been a really nice longitudinal study on bereaved children by Dr. Worden and in Boston, and part of what they found out is that children's symptoms actually are at their highest 2 years after the death of a family member.
Mm, that's interesting. Well, we need to take a break now. And when we come back from break, I would like you to talk a little bit to our audience about if they've got a child who's having problems in school, how can they approach the school?
Absolutely.
So we're coming up on break now, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, and please stay tuned to hear more about Supporting Grieving Children and Their Families with Val Mollison, Clinical Director of Supporting Kids, the Center for Grieving Children and Their Families, a nonprofit agency in Wilmington, Delaware. And please join our show by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792. If you'd like to email me or Heidi about this or upcoming shows, you can get us through our website, healingthegrievingheart.org. Please stay tuned.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. LibraryofLife.org is a proud sponsor of Healing the Grieving Heart. An everlasting memorial website created at LibraryofLife.org is a permanent place to cherish and share your loved one's life through photographs, personal stories, poems, music, video, and heartfelt reflections. LibraryofLife.org helps thousands of families connect to a community of people who are dealing with a similar loss. I, too, have created a beautiful website for my son, Scott, and know that the process is simple and can be tremendously healing. Visit LibraryofLife.org today to find out more.
Hi, this is Mark Victor Hansen. You know me for Chicken Soup for the Soul, the 1 Minute Millionaire, and Cracking the Millionaire Code. And what I want you to know is that if you want to have rip-roaringly good health, listen to Health Crusades by my friend John Farley.
Tune in to Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you tired of being tired? Are you sick of sitting around while life passes you by? You can get back on track by tuning in to Voice America Health and Wellness every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time for Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look. Attracting Abundance is the program that empowers you to finally break through your limiting beliefs and blocks and shows you how to succeed in all areas of your life, from improved financial abundance, health and weight problems, as well as your relationships. Don't wait another week to be joyful. Listen to Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look, this Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffer the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, and the topic today is supporting grieving kids and their families. And my guest is Valerie, and I'm going to say Molazan. Molazan, is that correct? Is
that right? Sounds very good.
Molazan. Valerie Molazan.
It's a French name. It's Molazan, but that's impossible. So.
Okay. Valerie is the clinical director of Supporting Kids, the Center for Grieving Children and Their Families, a nonprofit agency in Wilmington, Delaware. And Valerie, this agency is wonderful. You run groups, right, for kids? And
we run groups for folks ages 5 to 85, and we're very developmentally oriented, so we make sure that kids are with other kids their age, and each program is geared towards what the concerns and interests and capabilities of that age are after there's been a death in their family.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we, by the way, also welcome back Heidi, my new co-host.
Hello.
And when we went to break, I was talking to Val about how the audience, if they feel like their children, grandchildren, siblings or whatever are having problems in school, how do you approach the school?
Well, you know, I think one of the most important things to do is to think of the school as a member of your team and to say, can we rally the troops here and can we share information and try to problem solve what's the best approach for my child who's struggling. And when you do that and you come at the school with that attitude, it's amazing how helpful people can be. Sometimes, you know, when you become a bereaved parent or sibling, you're suddenly in a position where you're having to interpret yourself and your life to the rest of the world who doesn't know what this is like. And it's a lot of education is required in order for people to be appropriately supportive. It's interesting, when people are not bereaved, they want to support the bereaved people in their lives, but sometimes they're just awkward and don't know the best way to do it.
They don't know how to do it. Well, you know, we're feeling, when you've had this kind of loss, you're feeling so out of energy, so debilitated. We take the lady who sent us the email, whose child's only been dead for a month.
Yeah.
You don't have the energy. If you could drag yourself into school and say help.
It's tough.
Probably all you have to say is help.
And one of the other
you don't have to say, you know, a lot of other things.
Well,
just I need help.
And unfortunately,
support.
You might be so edgy that you call the school or drag yourself into the school and say, "Why are you being such a jerk?"
Exactly.
And
why did you say that? Why did you
anywhere,
say that?
Unfortunately, now one of the things in the materials that I have, and I'd be happy to send anyone who contacts me a copy of, is I have sample letters.
And give us your contact again.
Val Molazan at supportingkids.org. VALMOLAISON.
And if you Google Supporting Kids Delaware, you'd probably get it, too.
Oh, yeah, we have a fabulous website that's very informative as well.
Okay, great.
Supportingkids.org. And, you know, one of the things that I have in those written materials is sample letters that families can write to the people in their lives, such as coaches.
Yeah, Heidi, you find those particularly interesting, didn't you?
Yes, because like you said, Val, sometimes you don't have the energy to create a letter when you're grieving.
Right, but I do think it's important to say, here's the deal. If you don't speak up, everyone else around is going to get quiet. One of the main complaints we hear from children is, why does everybody get quiet when I walk in the room?
Mm-hmm.
And And it's because people are trying not to distress the bereaved child, and so they don't want to talk about this or that. They don't want to upset them. Well, guess what? The worst thing in the world's already happened to them.
Right.
They're already upset. And so there's really nothing you can say that's going to make a bereaved child's life worse. And the chances are much greater that you're going to help in some way.
Good for adults, but I'll have to say one of the things that we found when we work with Compassionate Friends kids is they don't always want to be different. They sometimes don't want to talk about it. They're kind of double bind with their friends. You know, they want people to know in a way they don't want them to know.
Yeah, with peers it's particularly tricky, and that's why organizations like Compassionate Friends and Supporting Kids are so useful, because we can get kids together with other kids who've had a similar loss, mm-hmm. and they really have a kinship, and they get one another. They
mm-hmm.
understand. And so that can be incredibly invaluable for children who are grieving the loss of a sibling. But I think in terms of having teachers and other people who are in charge of your children, know that this is what's happening in our family, and this is the attitude we'd like our community to take, and this is the way we would like to do this work, really allows the people around a bereaved family to have permission to approach this and to say, you know, for example, with those math problems, how about every other, you know, every odd problem instead of every problem once in the homework for now. You know, reducing the quantity of the work can be really, really helpful.
You know, what I'm thinking of when you talk, Val, is that it would maybe be good for someone who is related to the child rather than the parent at this point to maybe help with these issues, because these are pretty heavy-duty cognitive things to ask a newly bereaved parent to do. But you might be able to get an advocate, a minister or whatever, to look over this book, or a friend or a neighbor or whoever, and help out a little bit, too. Hyde, we had some discussion points here. Did you want to ask Valerie some questions from those that we were thinking about? Maybe you want to look at it for a minute and think about doing that.
Okay.
But anyway, how about that, having somebody else help out?
It's crucial. It's crucial. You need someone who's, you know, organizing, thinking, planning part of their brain is working very well, and that is not a newly bereaved parent, typically.
No.
And, you know, in order to allow children to continue to try to hobble along as they're grappling with, you know, very traumatic circumstances, it really will need some adult assistance, and an adult who can be trusted and who can follow through on little details like this.
And parents, it doesn't have to be you.
No, and as a matter of fact, oftentimes it's better if it's not parents, because one of the things that's interesting, when a child dies in a family, the bereavement of the parent is so very different in many cases than the bereavement of the children. And, you know, the role you played with the person who died is very different, and the things that are of concern to you are very different, and the what's happening in your life developmentally is very different. And so it's sometimes hard for bereaved parents and their children to come to a good meeting of the minds. That's one of the things I love about Compassionate Friends, and I would recommend anybody who can to attend local, regional, or national conferences of Compassionate Friends.
Oh, yeah, the conferences are wonderful. And, Heidi, what are you going to present this year, Heidi?
I'm going to present workshops for parents that have lost children on how to help their children through the grief process, how to help their children and how to help their teens. And one thing, Valerie, that you brought up that I just want to reiterate is that children, like you said, children and adults do grieve very differently, and children visit grief for short periods of time. And then they go and do other things and play, and that's part of their grieving process, and that's part of their coping, and that's healthy, because you don't want children to be completely overwhelmed in their grief. They need to take breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas parents can stick with the grief longer.
I think, actually, I would even put it another way. Mm-hmm. I wish parents had the ability that the kids have.
Absolutely.
To be able to do that, to get relief occasionally, and
yes.
It's very difficult as a bereaved parent
yes.
to do that.
I've found sometimes, though, that parents get a little, sometimes they have a problem when the kids are grieving and then go out and play basketball and look okay. Sometimes it upsets them because they're saying, how can Johnny be out there when his brother just died?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because parents and children do grieve differently.
Mm-hmm. And what the loss means to them is so different, too. I mean, mm-hmm. to lose a sibling is so different from losing a child.
Mm-hmm.
In some real key ways. I mean, many times when a parent has lost a child, a big piece of what they have is they feel like, number one, the world has got to have gone crazy because children are not supposed to die before their parents.
Right.
And so there's an existential crisis about that. And then the other one is just your basic parent guilt of, aren't parents here to protect and nurture their children, and how did I in some way fail to protect, even though we know that's not logical
mm-hmm.
always, you know, that you didn't really fail to protect, it was just an accident of fate or things happen,
right.
But parents can't help but question themselves on their mm-hmm. alleged failure to protect, whereas siblings have much more, you know, a wider range of potential responses. Some people may feel mostly guilty because they had a lot of conflict with that sibling.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may feel like, gee, I lost my best friend and my favorite playmate. Or, you know, I lost the person who helped me with my homework. And so the roles that siblings play to one another are very...
Or it can be that I lost the person I can't stand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I hated it at the time.
And
it was my arch enemy. And now I find out that I really feel bad that they died. I feel guilty. I feel all those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the bereavement is very different, and one thing I like about Compassionate Friends is they have a track for bereaved siblings and a track for bereaved parents, which really, really helps siblings be able to come in and say, okay, I'm with my peeps now. I'm with people who actually know my position, and I'm not going to have to argue that my grief is better or different, or, you know, I don't have to justify my position because I'm with other people who are also siblings who understand.
And also, by the way, it's a lot of it, too, is fun. I can have fun with these kids.
Oh,
you know, we're going to play together. We're going
to
do things together.
I can go to different cities and visit, depending on where the conference is.
Exactly.
It's a very uplifting. I mean, there are tense moments. There's difficult moments. There's the fabulous mm-hmm. memory wall of photos and letters that people bring in and display, and it's just wonderfully touching.
Right.
On the other hand, it's also, you know, just so much fun. I led some of the sibling sharings, and we just, with the adolescents and pre-adolescents, and we had a lot of laughter, a lot of fun, and just you could just see life coming back into people's cheeks.
Well, it's also empowering because when you've had a loss, you feel victimized, you feel helpless. And when you can go into a situation, a grief group, and give back to other people that are grieving, it's very empowering for you, and you feel like you're giving something. You're not just helpless and sitting there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the misunderstandings the world, the non-bereaved world has about grief is that they think it's all about feelings. And it's true that grief work does involve feelings, and you have a lot of strong feelings and a lot of mixed feelings and a lot of feelings you wish you could turn off, and they won't turn off when you want them to. But grief work also involves some real adjusting and, you know, cognitive adjustments and ways of thinking and strategic adjustments on how you manage your life and what you're
doing.
And
who's going to mow the lawn.
And all this roles that you have to figure
right.
out who's doing what. And when you think about bereavement in those respects, one of the reasons why it's important to focus on all those other parts is because the way in which we begin, one of the main ways in which we heal is to activate and to do and to say, look,
right.
despite the fact that awful things happen and sometimes I don't understand the world, I still have agency. I still have power.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's time for us to take a break again. And we're coming up on break. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. And our guest today is Valerie Molson, Clinical Director of Supporting Kids, the Center for Grieving Children and Their Families, a nonprofit agency in Wilmington, Delaware. Please join our show by calling 866-472-5792. And if you'd like to email Heidi or I about this or upcoming shows, you can reach us through our website, healingthegrievingheart.org. Please stay tuned for more.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. LibraryofLife.org is a proud sponsor of Healing the Grieving Heart. An everlasting memorial website created at libraryoflife.org is a permanent place to cherish and share your loved one's life through photographs, personal stories, poems, music, video, and heartfelt reflections. Libraryoflife.org helps thousands of families connect to a community of people who are dealing with a similar loss. I, too, have created a beautiful website for my son, Scott, and know that the process is simple and can be tremendously healing. Visit libraryoflife.org today to find out more.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough.
Did you know your child's asthma attacks can be triggered by things like shower curtains, a blanket, even a teddy bear?
I feel like I'm choking.
And there are many other things in your home and your child's classroom you may not know about. For the latest information, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Help prevent your child's asthma attacks and avoid the emergency room. Call toll-free 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Or visit www.noattacks.org.
I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffer the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Our guest today is Patricia's going to be on the phone in a minute. Valerie Mollison, and our topic is supporting grieving children and their families. Val is Clinical Director of Supporting Kids, the Center for Grieving Children and Their Families, a nonprofit agency in Wilmington, Delaware. Welcome back to the show, Val and Heidi.
Thank you.
We've got a caller, and Patricia. Patricia, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
Hi. Hi. Welcome to the show. Healing the Grieving Heart, did you have a question for us?
Well, I had sent an email about my son.
Ah.
And my grandchildren.
Right.
And I just got some information that was really helpful as far as when my granddaughter's reacting. And my grandson, he'll never know his father. That's one of my concerns. Is there a way that I can kind of do something that might help him remember his dad?
Right.
My granddaughter, she runs in, she plays, she seems to be doing okay. But, you know, we're all just kind of still in shock and not knowing what to do with this new baby. It's like, what do you do with a child who will never know their dad?
Right. I remember getting
I'm so glad you called, Patricia. Thank you for that question. This is Val. You know, I remember talking with a father whose wife had died as complications from childbirth, and I was speaking to him over the years and assisting him with various things that would happen, and at one point I said, well, you know, bereaved children, blah, 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 and he said, is my son bereaved? And how can he be bereaved? He didn't know his mother. And so it's a really interesting question and a dilemma because obviously you want with all your heart for your son to never be forgotten and for everyone to know about him in the way that you know about him. And certainly it'll be beneficial for his children to know him, even though it may mean a lot of your helping construct him for his children. And so I think it's very helpful to do things like making memory books, making a memory box for things that there's only one item of, like a special memento or a videotape or something like that, and really letting kids know who this deceased person is and was and what that person might be doing or saying right now if he were in the room. Because what you want the kids to know is something of the personality of the person who died, and you want them to be able to almost construct an image that they can use. That's one of the interesting newer things we found out in grief literature way back when people thought, well, you have to let go and say goodbye and move on. And that's been one of the biggest fallacies in bereavement that we've found. It's actually kids who cope best with the death of a family member or those who are able to maintain ties with the person who died. And if that means helping them create the knowledge of that person, great. But I do want to caution that you want that image and that model of the person that you're helping the children build to be genuine, honest, and accurate. That means smelly gas, stinky feet, foul-mouthed, the whole wide range of what made your son your son. And that will create a much more real and genuine image. And it's really critical, number one, because it's more true to life, and so kids will trust you when they tell you about their father because they know you'll be being honest. But secondly, particularly kids, say your grandson, will use his father as a role model. And if your role model was perfect, you're not
going to put a lot of pressure
self-esteem because you will never be able to live up to a perfect person. And I think we have a tendency to speak of people who died prematurely and tragically as if they were perfect, and that creates a lot of adjustment issues for kids who are trying to live up to that.
Well, Patricia, I think it's so great that you're so insightful about what is going on here. Heidi, I know you've been doing something on continuing bonds, they call it now. Do you have any suggestions for Patricia?
Well, I always tell parents and grandparents that will be one of the amazing and wonderful roles you can give your grandson is to let him know what his father was like. Give him memories of what his father, tell him what his father was like when he was little. You will be his memory. You will construct this person for him. He will know his father through you, like Val said.
And I think that website that you were talking about, Dr. Horsley, you have a website. Maybe I can create a website for my son.
Oh, yes, through the Library of Life. Have you done that?
No, I haven't, but I just thought of that.
It is very easy. You can do it in, I did one for Heidi adopt a little baby from China in like 10 minutes, and I also have one for my son. Have you been on my website?
No, I just thought of that now.
Yeah, go on to the website, healingthegrievingheart.org, and then click on Library of Life, and you'll see a website for my son, Scott, and you're right, that would be wonderful. And for $50, it's on for a lifetime.
Great.
Well, and his friends, your son's friends can go on and talk about what they missed about him and create memories about, you know, what he was like.
Great.
So that later on, your grandson can read those things.
And you could even create some little questions for people to respond to, like, you know, what's the funniest memory? You know, what's the goofiest thing you ever did together? What were some famous sayings that he had? Things like that will be great permanent memory makers for the grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much. I love your show. It's
helped
me
thank
so
you.
Much.
And take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Really take care of yourself. And thanks for calling in and stay in touch. That was great. We get such wonderful emails. Okay, now let's go a little bit more on talking about some of the issues that you see with families when you're working with them. Val, did you have some things you want to bring up for Heidi?
I guess one of the questions I have for you, Val, is if you could give advice to a parent, what would it be?
Well, you know, like what Gloria just said to Patricia, take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the first thing I would say. Is it's sort of like when you're in an airplane and they say if the mask falls, you know, give yourself oxygen first before helping others.
Right.
There's a really important need to be able to do some basic self-care so you can get through. Initially, you're going to be in survival mode, and you're going to be just barely getting through. But making sure you drink water and you eat some protein and you try to rest, even if you can't sleep, try to rest your body. Try to get a little exercise, some of those basic self-care things. You know, listen to music. Do things that feed your soul. Rent a tearjerker movie if you feel numb and you feel like you need to cry. Rent a comedy if you want to laugh and cry. Find things that, surround yourself with people that are uplifting. And one of the things, I know it's a big responsibility for a bereaved parent, but, you don't have a lot of respite because if you still have children to raise, or even if your children are raised or nearly raised, they still need you. You're still their parent. And it's very hard to function enough to get by and still know you have the care of other people that is a responsibility as well. And I think you have to take care of yourself so you can do some of that.
Yeah, it doesn't do a lot of good if you're, you know, totally unhealthy and breaking down and all that. It's hard. You have to take care of yourself. And I think you also have to ask people for help.
I was going to say
only
that
way.
Exactly thing. That, and, you know, when people, what people will say to you after you've had the death of a child or a sibling is, let me know if there's anything I can do. And you go, okay. Well, you'd feel like they're not being genuine because everybody says the same thing, and then people disappear initially, you know, after the initial assistance that you get. And so bereaved parents often get angry, like, yeah, so much for my my world of support. Well, the thing is that it's going to take a certain amount of you deciding. I encourage bereaved parents to say, okay, who makes the best pie of every friend or family member you have? Call them and ask them to make you a pie.
But, you know, one of the problems is early on, and I'm not saying you can't do that a little later, but early on you don't have the energy to pick up a phone. And one of the things that I wish we could get out to the world is don't say, call me. Say, I'm going to bring this over. Mow their lawn.
I have, actually, I wrote some written materials called After the First Wave, How to Help Loved Ones Who Have Experienced a Loss. And what I hope to do is have bereaved families hand that paper.
I loved your letter, and you know, you've got a letter written in your booklet. People could Xerox that off and hand it to them, and a note that says, you know, help. You know, if you want to do something for me, don't call me. Do it.
Yeah, just do it. You know, offer to do my laundry, for goodness sake.
Well,
offer to do things that need to be done.
People said to me, you know, some of the 9/11 family said to me they went out during a snowstorm, after a snowstorm, and someone had shoveled their walk in their driveway without asking.
Right.
And it's the most touching thing.
Yeah, just do it. People, at Christmas time, we had a Secret Santa just drop stuff off, you know, and we went to the door to see what was there, you know, and we never thanked him, and because we didn't know who it was. It was fabulous.
Isn't that great?
We didn't have to write any thank you notes because we didn't know who did.
And taking their kids, if they, you know, babysitting.
You know,
give the parents a break.
Right, and if you don't feel like you have it in you to provide the fun, you know, some of the fun that little kids need and the noise and the chaos that they need, you know, try to find somebody who will take them to the movies or go bring them somewhere goofy. Around the holidays is particularly challenging. We have a big family party every year for any families who are bereaved that would like to come, and we have a magician, and we get really silly, and we do arts and crafts. And
I love silly. We need more silliness and whatever. Yeah.
We do. And, you know, that's one of the blessings of having young children around that we still need to take care of after we've had a death in the family, because they're going to make us live.
Get up, right. Exactly.
Even if we don't want to, they're going to have a way of having, bringing that spark into a room and making us pay attention to life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it's time for us to come up on break again, and you're listening to Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, and today our guest is Valerie Molivan. And Valerie is the clinical director of Supporting Kids, the Center for Grieving Children and Their Families, a nonprofit agency in Wilmington, Delaware. Please join our show today by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-472-5792. If you'd like to email me or Heidi about this show or upcoming shows, you can reach us through our website, healingthegrievingheart.org. And remember that all of these shows are archived on our website and Compassionate Friends website, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can run through and listen to these shows of hope and renewal from those who have been there and know how difficult it is for you. Please stay tuned for more.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. LibraryofLife.org is a proud sponsor of Healing the Grieving Heart. An everlasting memorial website created at LibraryofLife.org is a permanent place to cherish and share your loved one's life through photographs, personal stories, poems, music, video, and heartfelt reflections. LibraryofLife.org helps thousands of families connect to a community of people who are dealing with a similar loss. I, too, have created a beautiful website for my son, Scott, and know that the process is simple and can be tremendously healing. Visit LibraryofLife.org today to find out more.
Women, do you feel that you're too old to be active, too old to be beautiful, too old to have fun, or too old to be fabulous? Well, if that's what you think, then there's good news for you. You're wrong. Tune in to Voice America every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Aging Outside the Box, Fabulous Women Over 50 with Shirley Mitchell. Aging Outside the Box is a fabulous, fun program that gives you every reason to feel greater than you ever have. Host Shirley Mitchell and O.E. Cruiser Small will cover phenomenal topics such as women's issues, health, diet, exercise, nutrition, faith, travel, and many other concerns for women of all ages. Feel young, feel smart, and feel fabulous by tuning in to Aging Outside the Box. Fabulous Women Over 50 with Shirley Mitchell every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
We now rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who suffer the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Our topic today is supporting grieving children and their families with Val Molison, Clinical Director of Supporting Kids, the Center for Grieving Children and Their Families, a nonprofit agency in Wilmington, Delaware. Please join our show by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-472-5792. And you can also email me or Heidi about issues that you have or about upcoming shows, and you can reach us through our website at healingthegrievingheart.org. And we also have some quotes of the week from some of the guests that we've had on that you might enjoy going to the site for. Well, welcome back, Val and Heidi.
Thank you.
Thank you. Val, I had a question. Are there differences, do you see differences in gender differences in who comes in for help? And is there a different way in which males and females grieve?
It's a big question, and I'll try to give you a relatively small answer. Yes, there are a lot of individual differences in general regarding how people grieve. And although it's not the case for every person, we do tend to see patterns where women tend to be more interested in talking and have more access to their feelings and seek out support more readily and so forth. On the other hand, men tend to focus more on wanting to do something to make the situation better, to do something to create change. And so sometimes it's difficult for men and women, males and females, to understand one another when they're grieving because of the way in which they do it is so different. There are some pretty good books, and we have a nice lending library at Supporting Kids, and I can recommend for anyone who wants to contact me specifically, but we have some pretty good
books. And give them that contact again.
It's Val Molison at SupportingKids.org, V-A-L-M-O-L-A-I-S-O-N, at SupportingKids.org with two D's.
And you also have a webpage.
And the website is SupportingKids.org.
Great.
And so, you know, in the old days when people were first trying to understand what this whole, what's normal in grief and so forth, people thought, well, men just don't know what they're doing. Well, that was because we were researching women, elderly women whose husbands died. That's what a lot of the original research was about. And so what we decided was normal was what elderly women whose husbands died
mm-hmm.
would be normal. And we've had to really, really inspect ourselves as people who study bereavement scientifically to say, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this logic, you know? And we begin to understand now that there's different ways of approaching and doing this and that there's a wide range of what's normal and that it's not abnormal if a person doesn't want to talk a lot about their feelings. It's not abnormal if a person wants to go and, you know, do something that seems illogical, like build a boat. you know, we just have different ways of doing this.
Right. And do you see any gender differences with kids?
When it comes to working with kids, you do see a lot of differences, particularly among the adolescents. Probably the trickiest kids to know how you're benefiting is adolescent males. Mm-hmm. Because developmentally they're at a point where, you know, it's important to be tough and cool and to not, to only stand out if it means you're looking really good or mm-hmm. you're really athletic, not, you know, because you're bereaved or because you're sad or something like that or angry. And so you do see a lot of, a lot more silence and a lot more reluctance to participate in the types of information and support that are typically available for kids who are bereaved. But, you know, one of our ground rules in our support groups is you don't have to say anything if you don't want to. You just have to come. Mm-hmm. And we find across the board, I've been at supporting kids for 9 years, across the board, people, no matter their gender or age, can be helped by being with other people who are in a similar situation, because a big part of the work is finding out by exploring what is it that's universal mm-hmm. about our grief and our losses, regardless of the circumstances.
You know, that's not, I was going to say that one of the things we forget is that there are more commonalities about how we grieve than there are differences.
Absolutely. But I think what people find is that when they compare and contrast and they're constantly saying, oh, I'm different in this way, oh, I'm the same in this way, and they're constantly, like, holding a mirror up and moving it around and trying to figure out what do we have in common and what's different, what do we have in common and what's different. That's what helps people to feel comfortable in their own skin again.
And telling their story.
Because they realize that there's some universals, and they realize that there's some things that aren't universal, and it's soothing, believe it or not, to recognize that I'm both unique and the same.
Right. Well, you know, before we end our show, I wanted to ask you, is there anything that you feel that we haven't talked about that you'd like to talk about before the end?
Well, you know, I think that I would love it if bereaved parents could be kind to themselves mm. and not judge themselves. It's a very, very disorienting time when you have a child die. Even if the child was sick a long time and you knew it was coming, it doesn't matter. It just is
right.
so overwhelming. And what we find parents doing is saying, oh, I'm such an idiot. I locked my keys, you know, in the car. Or what's the matter with me? I can't get up to get my kids to school. And we hear a lot of negative self-talk and a lot of, you know, really berating themselves. And we try to say, you know, this is normal what you're doing, but we want you to know that you're doing this to yourself and to be aware that it's not that there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your life circumstances.
Right.
And I always think, you know, of the people that I work with as being regular, everyday people who've had irregular, horrific things happen to them. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to reflect that back to the families I work with because they feel so abnormal, and they're not.
Right. Well, I want to close the show on that note of Val has about taking care of yourself. And I just wanted to say that she has these fabulous booklets, well, they're wonderful. And what are they called?
One of them is Tools for Healthy Grieving, Survival Kit for Families.
And the other one
is Coping with Grief in the Schools.
And they are absolutely first rate. They're wonderful. And I would highly recommend that you try to get a hold of those. And Val said that you could do that through contacting her. Again, do you want to give us your website?
ValMolazon@supportingkids.org is my email. And the website is supportingkids.org.
Right, and this is out of Delaware. And Val, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Val.
I'm very appreciative.
It's just been great, and I've really enjoyed it, and I know you're a benefit to our audience. Well, please stay tuned again next week when our topic is traumatic grief and anger, and our guest will be Lou Cox, founder and director of Violent Crime Services Tacoma, Washington. Lou's a chaplain with the Des Moines, Washington Police Department, and is a survivor of murder of his 22-year-old daughter, Carmen, in 1987. And please email Heidi and I through our website, healingthegrievingheart.org, and join us on our show next week by calling in our toll-free number. And remember to tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. and 12 Pacific and 12 Eastern Standard Time right here on voiceamerica.com. This show can be heard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on the archives of our website, healingthegrievingheart.org, as well as compassionatefriends.org websites. And remember that others have been there and made it before you, and so can you. You need not walk alone. And thanks so much for listening to our show, and tune in again next week. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Thank you for joining us today on Healing the Grieving Heart. Join us again next Thursday at the same time on Voice America Health and Wellness.